kind of view was that? But see the joy of the people there because they knew who Jesus was a view like none other. I know many of you have probably seen some amazing views in your life. Being able to see God in a lot of those places. And in the places that we go and be able to just soak up those views. It's a special thing. I am one who can sit and just soak up a view. You plant me a chair at the beach with an umbrella, some cold Coke Zeros in the cooler, I'll be there all day. Alyssa will be bored to death, but I could be there all day. I absolutely love soaking up a good view. I love it. But here's what I also know. We all view things differently. Some things that I think is a great view that you might be like, why in the world would you think that's a great view? And then we could go the reverse as well. Might not be the same for everyone. I started thinking about how people view Jesus when I started just thinking of how we just view things in life. And he is viewed in many different ways. Today we're going to look at three of those views, and each one could be their own lesson. But don't worry, I'm only preaching 1 week. Todd will be back next week, so we're good. All right. Besides, I've crammed all three in one. We're going to be here for three times as long, so we got this. It's all good. Don't you worry. I don't need to come back next week. Just 1 week is it. I hope the teachers are prepared out there, especially with little copes running around. You never know what's going to happen. Seriously, though, that being able to just jump in, and we're going to look at these three views, and I know we're not going to unpack them fully, but we're going to be able to unpack them some. But knowing more about who Jesus is and our view of him has a profound impact on our faith, or should have a profound impact on our faith. And making sure we are just not letting the world influence our views of Jesus. Because I promise you, if you do any scrolling like I have, you hear all different things. And I did the little thumb movement, and some of you are like, what is he doing? Ask a teenager. All right, they've got the thumb movement down. You hear different what they say are truths about Jesus. But letting the truth from God, from his word, be our influence is the key. Because here's the thing, we must know more about him. But not just know about him, but know him on a true personal level. We need a true relationship with him. And the more we get to know him, and the more we spend time with him, the more we have that relationship with him. As I was preparing for this lesson, I started doing some research of just what do people say about Jesus? And when I typed that into Google, a little thing popped up. Actually, two things popped up, two articles that if you weren't careful, you would read one and be like, oh man, it's kind of getting a little doom and gloom here. Because Barna Research had an article that first popped up and it said, hey, more and more people are leaving the faith. They're not coming to know Jesus. They're starting to walk away, especially the younger generation. And I was like, man, I started reading things that are different than that. What, this has got to be an older research. And that was from 2015. I was like, okay, let's go to the newer. Let's see what they're saying now. And here's what Barna Research is... researchers say, and this is from 2025. It says, according to Barna's latest data, 66% of all U.S. adults say they have made a personal commitment to Jesus, and that is still important in their life today. That marks a 12% increase since 2021. Is that not incredible? That Jesus is having more impact on people now, and the tide is starting to turn because people are realizing who he is and the need for him. Their view on him is changing. Instead of saying, hey, this is someone who we can't listen to, we're going to walk away, to we need him. So leading to my first view of Jesus is he comes from God. To know Jesus more personally, we need to know where he is from. People that are not Christ followers share many thoughts about where Jesus comes from. Maybe he's a prophet, just a regular man. Definitely not the Messiah, not from God. Maybe he's just a really good teacher. But that's it. But there's something about knowing where he's from that has a great effect on the rest of our views of him and our relationship with him. Because if he's not from God, that doesn't hold a whole lot of weight. Why is he worth following if he's not from God? It's not helpful to our faith or in trusting God more. We must know where he's from. We know he's from God. This morning I want to look at, we're going to look at a few, three passages from Luke. And this first one, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, he says, And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified, but the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be assigned to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been. I know some of you in here, and maybe it's more over in our teenage section, and this might be more my fault, are thinking, Tyler, it's not Christmas. Why are we reading a Christmas verse? Shouldn't we be celebrating the birth of Jesus year-round, not just at Christmas? But if for some reason, it does seem like that passage gets put over more just Christmas time. But looking at this passage, we see the angels of the Lord announcing the birth of Jesus. Verse 10, it says, But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Can only imagine what the shepherds are feeling at this time. But they get to be the messengers of the news of where Jesus comes from. That he is Messiah, he is the Lord, he comes from God. God had sent him to earth for us. He came for us. God had his angels making sure it is known to the shepherds and to others that Jesus came from him. So when we think about the view of Jesus, we know he comes from God. And when the shepherds knew he came from God, it changed their life. Verse 20, it says, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and all the things they had seen, which were just as they had been told. I love that, being able to just picture that. But also, and we've talked about this some before, and I know I've talked about it with our students in the past, of how just looking at this passage, why God chose this group of men, kind of a ragtag bunch, a group that not normal people would probably say they need to be the first to know about Jesus. But it's a group of men that was able to share the message to the rest of the world of where Jesus comes from and who he comes from. When we realize who Jesus is and where he comes from, not only has it changed the shepherds, it's to start changing us. It should start have a work in our life to be able to say, this man that I need to get to know, this man I have a relationship with, comes from God. It should change us. And our second view of Jesus is that he meets our needs. We know where he comes from. We know he comes from God. And I know I use one passage, but there are many others that can support that. The second view, he meets our needs. We are sinful and full of needs people. Or better term is, we're just needy people. We are in need of help, some more than others. But here's what changes a little bit. We can sometimes be a little less needy when it comes to our spiritual life, saying, hey, I've got this. I don't know if I need God right now. I think I can be better. I think I can do good. But that's where we need him most. In our spiritual lives and in all aspects of life, to say, well, I can't do this on my own. I need him to fulfill my needs. When Jesus came to earth, and even now, it was and is to fulfill our needs. Not what we see as needs, like, I want the most up-to-date iPhone. Or, man, I wish I had a bigger house. It's a little cramped with four kids. Or even sometimes our needs of, I just want to be healed of this thing that is holding me back, or this injury I've had, or this bad back. There's things that we start to say we have needs for. And we know God can answer all of them. But we also know he's a God that fulfills the needs that we sometimes don't realize we have, or we overlook. In Luke chapter 5, on one of those days, Jesus was teaching. Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea, from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." The scribe and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And immediately he rose up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they were glorified and were filled, they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, We have seen extraordinary things today. This is one of my favorite stories of the man being healed by Jesus. There is so much we could unpack here. We could talk about the friends. We could talk about the crowd or the Pharisees, the reaction that's happening. We could talk about the crowdedness in the room or in the house that they were in, or cutting a hole through the roof. But let's focus on Jesus and the man he is healing. So we're viewing in a little more about who Jesus is. The man who fulfills needs. The man who covers our needs. Jesus meets his needs. When I first started thinking about what that means, I started thinking personally. Thinking about how needs impacts our relationship with other people, with people that we know. There's something about when our needs have been fulfilled by others, it starts to grow that relationship even more than maybe where it was. And how when we feel Jesus impact and fulfill our needs, it grows that. But I started thinking about just most recently how so many people have stepped up to help meet the needs of my family. With Alyssa being out with her knee most recently, with having surgery last Saturday, y'all said, hey, we're going to help. Tyler, we don't know if you can handle four kids, which is true. I don't think I can. I know I can't. But we've had family, my parents, my in-laws, keep our kids. We've had an elder and his wife keep Nehemiah, which is saying a lot. Thank you for keeping him for a few days. Many of you have brought food to our house or have provided us with gift cards. I mean, so much food that I'm already packing on pounds that I was trying to lose. But you're meeting needs. And it's so cool to see how people meet those needs. And my admiration for you has just continued to grow. My love for each of you, which was already strong, is just growing more because there is something about when you meet people's needs that we start to grow that attachment even more. I have appreciation for the church because I don't know how people make it without the church. Not only as it comes to one day walking in heaven with Jesus and with God, but just getting by in life. It's so important. But it's made an impact on me. And so as I was reading this story, I was like, okay, Jesus was fulfilling a need, and now his need's been fulfilled in my life, and Jesus being a part of that because he's working through each of you. So there's something about when people's needs are met that have an impact, and people remember. And that is what Jesus does here with this man. He meets his needs physically. You see it a little later down in the passage. Right? He heals him so he can walk, which that's what he came for. Right? Jesus meets that need because he's a healer. But he doesn't stop there. He's like, hey, there's more to do here. There's more to be done than just your physical needs. And I want to meet that as well. And this is where the story becomes even more real for us with Jesus. Because this is what he came for us, to forgive our sins. Can you imagine for a second how you'd react if I walked up to you and randomly said, your sins are forgiven today? You probably look at me like I'm a little crazy, right? What is going on? Those four kids are really messing with his mind. And I'm sure Jesus got some crazy looks, and we can tell by the way the scripture is talking in here of they were giving him some crazy looks and even questioning, like, who gives you this authority? How do you have the authority to forgive sins? And he tells him, is it more amazing that I can forgive his sins or make him walk? And I think it's more that he can forgive our sins. Because that's what we need. We need that. He's taken it to a whole nother level when he died on the cross for our sins as well. So that we can be forgiven, and he fulfills the need for us to be forgiven of our sins so that one day we can live with him. Right? And he's the only one who can. So he fills our needs. Right? So we've seen two different views. We see a Jesus who comes from God. We see a Jesus who can fulfill needs. And the last view of Jesus, just today, remember there's so many other views we could go with, but that he is greater than death. What a Savior. Jesus isn't just from God and doesn't just meet our earthly needs. He defeats death and has defeated death. And this is where people around him probably started taking even more notice about him and the ministry and the things that he was doing on earth. Luke chapter 7, in verse 11, it says, soon afterward he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. And as he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, and the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us. And God had visited his people. And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all surrounding country. Jesus, in his ministry, was showing signs of what he was actually here for. Over the last month or so, there have been many people that have been close to me throughout my life that have passed away. A former student who was only 25 passed away from a motorcycle accident here recently. Then also multiple men throughout my life who have spoken truth in my life from a young age to even in my adult years have passed away. And they are men that I look at and say, I wish I had more time with. That I wish I had even another day just to sit, maybe have coffee with. To be able to spend more time with them here on earth. Wish I was able to make them arise again. And I know you probably have the same feeling about some people that you care about. And when Jesus defeated death for this man, I'm sure his mother was overwhelmed with joy for her son. She gets to spend more days with him here on earth. Because I also know sometimes we get a little short-sighted in that. We want to spend more time with them here and now. The Jesus we see here, the view we get to see of him, is the view of a Savior who can bring people back to life. But not only that, but he conquers death. And not just for himself when he died on a cross and came back to life, as we read throughout the Gospels, but for us as well and what that means for you and I. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." He abolished death so we can live in heaven with him. Death is not the end of our story. It's just the beginning. We mourn those who have passed away. For those who have a relationship with Jesus, it's just the start. We're just beginning to see the view of him. These are just a few glimpses of who Jesus is. As I mentioned before, we could continue this on for weeks to come. But what does this all mean for us today? Not just giving it just a view to look at. But how do we start to grow in our relationship with him? I hope it gives you a better view of God and the God that we serve and his love for you and I that would send his son to this earth. And when we trust in him and live for him, Jesus meets our needs physically and spiritually because Jesus has overcome death and death for us. Have you made the decision to follow Jesus? To see the full view for who he is? If you haven't, why wait? It's time to step into the full view of Jesus. And secondly, if you have, but your view of Jesus has started to dim, then maybe it's starting to get darker than what you realize it was. You're not able to see a full picture and full view of Jesus. It's time to step into the light and fully embrace him in your life. Live out the full view of Jesus, our Savior. And for those who are already living it out, living out the full view of Jesus, let's continue to show others who Jesus really is and what it looks like to truly follow him. Let's stand and sing.
How do you explain, how do you describe a love that flows from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears.